Andrew, for the introduction, and thanks everyone for being here this morning. I always pick a different picture to start my presentations. I always like to show off the volcanoes of my country. I'm from Guatemala, and I'm going to be presenting this paper discussing the mineral and thermal properties of volcanic ash-derived soils affecting sorption reactions, with an emphasis on boron adsorption, because that's my main focus of research. So I'm going to use this outline throughout my presentation. I'm going to give you some context information about volcanic ash soils, for those of you who are not too familiarized with that. Then I'm going to explain some of the methods we use to understand this mineralogical and thermal properties of the soils affecting adsorption reactions. And then I'm going to share the results that we have so far, and to end up with conclusion remarks. So in terms of volcanic ash-derived soils, we know that they're dominated by short-range order minerals, such as allophane and emogolite. You can see here, this is a diagram of a nanoball of allophane. The special features of these minerals is that they're in order of nanometer scale. You can see the diameter here is five nanometers for a nanoball of allophane, which makes them have a huge surface area, which makes them highly reactive, especially with oxygen ions. And boron behaves as an oxygen ion in soils. So they also have the property of being able to accumulate large quantities of carbon because of this high specific surface area, and they tend to form very strong organomineral associations. And as I told you before, they behave in a way that govern the dynamics of oxygen ions in soils. So what do we know about mineral and interaction with oxygen ions? We know that they form surface complexes, which can be either inner sphere or outer sphere. Inner sphere complexes are specific and stable because there is no water molecules between the adsorbate and the absorbent. And oxygen ions that behave like this with minerals in soils are phosphate, arsenate, selenate, and borate. And we also have another type of non-specific and less stable complexes that are formed, which are called the outer sphere complexes. And oxygen ions that behave like this would be sulfate and nitrate. So we know minerals form these complexes with oxygen ions. But then there has been contradictory conclusions about what organic matter does in terms of increasing or decreasing the complexation reactions of surface minerals. So then there are authors that suggest that organic associations in these minerals actually increase the mineral adsorption capacities, but others authors suggest that they decrease the mineral adsorption capacities. So I came up with the question of whether pure minerals are actually good models to understand whole soil reactivity, because we know soils are complex matrix that do not only have mineral, but also organic surfaces. So then the questions for this study are, first of all, to understand which mineral surfaces play an important role in oxygen ion adsorption, with an emphasis on boron, as I told you before. Then how does organic matter influence these mineral surfaces and their interaction with oxygen ions? And finally, is there a difference between types of organic surfaces in whole soil reactivity, since some authors suggest that there are positive and or negative effects on their mineral interactions? So the methods we use to start giving answers to these questions, we took a set of 23 volcanic ash-derived soils from the Pacific Coastal Plain of Guatemala. For them, we ran boron adsorption isotherms to calculate maximum adsorption capacities, and we measured specific surface area for the 23. And then for the characterization of the soils, we made X-ray diffraction on the clay fraction after we removed organic matter with hydrogen peroxide to see if we could find any crystalline phases there. Then we run the selective dissolutions, which is the classic method used to measure amorphous phases such as allophane, ferrihydrite, and emogolite in these types of soils. And then we also perform thermal analysis to understand how organic matter fractionates within the soils, to see if we could find any difference between these fractions and their reactivity. And finally, with all these variables that we measured, all these characteristics of the soils, we performed a multivariate statistical analysis to understand which are the principal components that explain the variability within the set of soils, and also a hierarchical cluster analysis to see how they naturally group and which variables domain in terms of explaining surface area and absorption capacities. So the results we've got, first we have the crystalline and amorphous mineral phases. You can see here we have five different orders. We have 7 mollisols, 5 entisols, 4 verdisols, 1 alphisol, and 6 andisols. And the phases that we were able to identify either with X-ray or with chemical dissolutions were these two primary minerals, orthoclase and cristobalite, that have been found in other types of volcanic ash soils in other regions of the world. We could also identify in all of them a 7 angstrom phase that we assigned to a kaolinite, and only for 2 of the mollisols we were able to distinguish between kaolinite and haloisite after dehydration of formamide. And we also found a 10 angstrom phase, which we assumed it was smectite after it was shifted in a glycolate solvation. And for all of them, we could find a very strong influence of amorphous minerals, both in the X-ray diffraction and in the chemical dissolutions. So when we go to see and understand how aluminum speciates between these soils, we find that for soil orders, mollisols, entisols, verdisols, and alphisols, both aluminum extracted by oxalate, which can be assumed to be coming from short-range order minerals, and aluminum associated with organic matter, are lower than in andisols, which we expected. But even though they are low, they also confer high surface area in these soils. So we can see here the lighter gray corresponds to aluminum associated with organic matter, and this one would, the difference between these two bars would correspond to aluminum coming from short-range order aluminosilicates such as alphane and immobilite. Now, when we go to see the iron phases coming from selective dissolutions, we see almost the same behavior as we did with the aluminum phases, but here the verdisols and the alphisols, which are soils that have a greater influence with basaltic lava flows, they have a higher contribution of iron coming from the oxalate extraction, which could be a higher contribution of ferry hydride, which also confers great surface area and absorption capacities. So we found an exponential negative relationship between the alphane content and the relationship between the aluminum that is associated with organic matter and the aluminum that is present as short-range order aluminosilicates, which has been suggested also for other authors. And then keep in mind this figure, because later, after a cluster analysis, we repeated that and we fine-tuned this R-square for the 3 groups that got as a result of the cluster analysis. So we did find this exponential decay when we also measured the relationship between the ratio of C to alphane in terms of the surface area, which means to me that the organic carbon present in the soils is acting as a coating on the alphane surfaces, which is affecting this specific surface area. But then we do know that organic matter can also form complexes with oxygen ions. So then even if there is less surface area, when there is more carbon, we could still have effects on absorption capacities. So to understand a little bit deeper about the effect of carbon in the absorption capacities and surface area, we measured by thermal analysis the fractions of organic matter on the soils. So we did this by measuring the CO2 evolution after heating at different temperatures. So we have here, this is an example of one of the andisols. This is the observed CO2 evolution as a function of temperature. And then we use the software PeakFit to model this data. So this is the generated by the model. And we saw that the model is actually the response of several hydrogen peaks within the soil. So we found, for example, in this sample, we have four different peaks that occur at local maxima of different temperatures. And according to the literature, we can classify these peaks in terms of the type of organic matter that we're dealing with. So label recalcitrant and refractory. So in the case of this soil, we have four different maxima, one occurring at 293, the second one at 248, 432 and 519 Celsius degrees. So this is the distribution of the fractions of organic matter for these soils. You can see that the Andes soils tend to have more recalcitrant organic matter, and the label organic matter fractions is the main contribution of both verdisols and alfisols. And if you remember on the other two aluminum and iron speciation slides, these four orders were all lower, but in this case, all behaving the same, but in this case, mollisols and entisols tend to have a behavior in terms of types of organic matter, such as allophane, and there's a distinctive difference here in verdisols and alfisols. So then we went and do the clustering analysis to understand how these soils group. And we found that the data naturally grouped a first cluster, grouping the verdisols and the alfisols, which would be considered the least allophanic soils, and that the major contribution of organic matter is the label organic matter. Then we have a group with middle andic character with an average of 16 grams of allophane per kilogram and mainly recalcitrant organic matter. And finally, the most andic soils, which are obviously the andisols, with 80 grams of allophane per kilogram and mainly recalcitrant organic matter. So then, just for you to remember that these verdisols and the alfisol, even though they are less allophanic, they still have great potential to absorb oxygen ions because of the presence of kaolinite, smectites, and ferrihydrate relative to these other two clusters. So this is the exponential decay reaction that I showed you before. You can see that when we replicate the graph for different clusters, there are different exponential relations. So this group three are the most allophanic soils. You can see that the exponent relationship changed from -2.1 to -0.2 and -0.41. Because this is a negative exponential relation, we can infer from here that the most allophanic allophane content in the soils, the less it's going to affect the presence of organic matter in the speciation of aluminum. So then when we went to see the multivariate analysis, we found that the first three components explain 81% of the variability of the data set. To the first component, we can see that there's a 40% of the variability explained by these three variables. Here we get, this is the only principal component that is correlated with the boron absorption capacities, and the two surfaces that are directly correlated with them are recalcitrant fraction of organic matter and oxalate extractable aluminum and iron. So we call this principal component the absorption affinity, which explains 40% of the variability of the data set. Then the second one, which explains a 26%, is positively correlated with label fractions of organic matter, pyrophosphate, aluminum, and iron, the ratio between total carbon and allophane content, and the clay percentage. And it is negatively correlated with recalcitrant organic matter. So we call this second component the organomineral associations component. And you can see that mainly the label organic matter fraction is the one forming these associations with metals such as aluminum and iron, and that recalcitrant organic matter is actually negatively correlated with them. And then the third component, which explains 50% of the variability of the data set, has a positive correlation with specific surface area, refractory organic matter, and clay fraction. So the percentage of clay-sized particles in the soils, no matter what the mineralogy is going to give us, is going to explain the specific surface area. And the refractory organic matter may also contribute to high surface area, but not necessarily to adsorption reactions. So in conclusion, we can state from the results we have gotten here that boron absorption affinity depends on short-range order minerals, which we measured by oxalate extractable aluminum and iron, that only recalcitrant fractions of organic matter contributes to boron absorption affinity. As you could remember on the principal components, the label tends to form organomineral associations but don't necessarily adsorb boron in any specific way, and then the refractory organic matter confers surface area but does not contribute to absorption capacities. Then we can say that mainly organic label fractions of organic matter contributes to organomineral associations within these soils, and that recalcitrant organic matter confers specific surface area but does not necessarily impact absorption affinity. So I would like to acknowledge Dr. Alain Plante, who is here in the audience, for his technical assistance on the thermal analysis, Dr. Paul Schroeder for his technical assistance on X-ray diffraction, Nordic Fertilizers, and Eugenio Magdalena from Guatemala for facilitating the soil samples, and my professor, Dr. Malcolm Sumner, Aaron Thompson, and Miguel Cabrera.